Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, September the 13th. As we like to do once a week, we'll be chatting with our good friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Lots to get into with Bill, as we always do every week. There's a big story there in New York City, and that's what's happening with Wall Street. They're having a terrible day. Last time I checked, I think they closed at 3 Central Time. I'm not exactly sure. But they're down 4. That's a big for the stock market. Normally, you don't see it quite that big. And over at the White House, they're having a celebration of the Inflation Reduction Act. So, man, let's say hello to our friend Bill Katz. Hey, Bill, I think maybe they should have checked the calendar before they go out and schedule the Inflation Reduction Act. Maybe they should have said, why don't we wait for the inflation report before we have the celebration, Bill?
Well, you know, this is a perfect example of this White House just being out of touch. And in fact, remarkably so. And in connection with that, I'm a little concerned that the polls thus far for individual races for the House and the Senate do not seem to be reflecting the overall gloom in the economy. I would have imagined the Republicans would be a little bit further ahead at this point in the campaign, and maybe they ought to light a fire.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. On the House, the numbers that I last saw were anywhere from 20 to 70 pickups, so I guess wherever it falls. And on the Senate, it does seem like Herschel Walker is doing better in Georgia. Pennsylvania is still a toss-up, I guess, at this point. And over in Nevada, it looks like,
Laxalt. Laxalt. Hello? Hello?
Are you with me, Bill?
Hello?
Yeah, Bill, are you with me? I don't know what happened there. We lost you. I'm sorry.
We lost the signal for a minute.
Yeah, I lost you, and I could hear myself but not hear you, so sorry about that. But just as I was, I guess just as before we had our little, rendezvous with technology or whatever we had, I was saying that, or you were saying about bad timing. And it just occurred to me that if you're going to do a inflation reduction celebration, that you might want to wait until the day after the inflation report just to make sure that it wasn't like it is today, Bill.
Well, yes, they don't think that way in the White House. There's an old notion in journalism, and it begins with a question. What does the reporter do just before he hands in a weather story? And the answer, of course, is he looks outside, they don't look outside too much in this White House. But as I said, I'm still, given the condition that the country is in and given the low approval rating the president gets, I'm a little concerned at this point about the Republicans not being strongly enough ahead in many races where we expected them to be ahead. I'm concerned, for example, about Florida, where Marco Rubio is only about 2 points ahead in the polls. Now, these polls may not be accurate because Florida has seen a great surge in Republican registration, and it may not be reflected in the polls. There are those who say that the polls tend to favor the Democrats and that on Election Day the Republicans come through. But I'm hoping still that the Republicans, especially given the economic situation, will a lot of somebody in the background there. Those the kids?
Well, I think so. Yes, they're in the other room. They're supposed to stay in the other room while you and I are doing a podcast. But I think they decided to participate.
That's all. That's okay.
They're angry at the stock market, Bill. That's what it is. They're angry at the stock market.
I was going to say they make more sense than the president does.
Yes, they've decided that they want to express their thoughts here about. I think there he is. He's we have him for a little bit today because. Our daughter-in-law had some things to do, so she dropped them off. And right before we did our podcast, I made sure that they couldn't get in this room. But that apparently doesn't stop them from being outside the door and expressing themselves. So we just bring a little youthful enjoyment to the show, Bill.
That's true. That's true. And there's no reason why you shouldn't. That's always good to hear children.
Yes, it is. As my there was a priest. A Catholic priest one time who said that a quiet church is a dying church. So he says, you got to have kids. You got to have kids in the congregation. They make your, at least they give you hope for the future. But you're right about the polls and you know, they don't seem to reflect. I mean, when you consider how bad the economy is right now and how bad it's gonna get, and this weekend there may be a strike. A railroad strike that is just going to make things a lot worse.
Yes.
When you add all of that together, you would think that the Republicans would be ahead. The only consolation I have is that this guy who writes at Real Clear Politics said, if you look at previous years, the party that does well tends to start increasing its lead in the last 60 days or so. So we may be seeing increases in the Senate. I know that in Pennsylvania, it's a toss-up right now, and that was not supposed to be. And in Nevada, it's looking good. So, you know, look, all you got to do is have a majority of 51-49, and that's satisfactory to me in the Senate.
Well,
in the House,
well,
who knows?
Yes. Well, the Senate is important for one reason, and that's where judges are confirmed. And if you can get a Republican majority to block some of Biden's crazy court appointments, he's appointed some real whack jobs. And if we can control that process, that would be a great relief. And also, you want to prevent radical, ridiculous things from happening, such as trying to pack the court. And control of the Senate would clearly make that impossible.
That's right. Well, you would not have the Inflation Reduction Act.
That's right.
If we had a majority, just that alone. But you got to wonder about Joe Manchin here, Senator Manchin. Now, you and I have always said nice things about him, and I'm sure he's a very nice man. But he doesn't look real bright right now in West Virginia.
No.
On this, I mean, he's lost a lot of support there, and I think it's because a lot of people don't think that he got anything for that Inflation Reduction Act. I mean. When Robert Byrd was a senator, he would always get a highway or a bridge out of every deal. And this time, all he got was a pin for going to the ceremony. And that is not impressing people in West Virginia, Bill.
No. Now, Manchin, I believe, is up for re-election in 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yes, he is.
But
in 24.
And I think either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to become a Republican, or a Republican challenger will defeat him.
You know, I was looking at his numbers, Bill. The last time he won under 50%. There was a third candidate in the race. Libertarian or somebody like that took enough votes for him to win with 48%.
Yes.
My guess is that after this, I wouldn't be surprised if he retires. He's been there a while. He's been in politics for, he's got to read, you know, he's got to read the political reality that the odds are against him. And after this Inflation Reduction Act, I'm not so sure that he would want to go back and seek reelection because it's just not working out well for him. I mean, if you're going to do an Inflation Reduction Act and then have the first inflation report after the act says that inflation went up. That's not a good deal.
No. Look, I'm looking forward very much to the election, which will be in a little less than 2 months.
Actually,
2 months is a long time in politics. A lot can happen. Excuse me. And I remind us that there has always been the term October surprise in politics.
Yes.
Belief that one party is going to pull something. And remember, this year that belief or fear should be greater than ever, because it is quite obvious that what the Democratic strategy is to try to get Donald Trump indicted right before the election. Now, I don't know if that would affect the election negatively, that people may get very angry over it and feel that it's a misuse of the legal system. But I think that is their goal. They are going to try to pull something in October. And I think that and the Republicans are not showing all that much brilliance this year. Not that that's unusual, but they have got to be very adept, very quick. I'm hoping that will happen, because the party actually is in pretty good hands. They've got to get their message out more strongly than ever and just be out there every day fighting as if they were 20 points behind.
Right. Well, you know, when you listen to some of these candidates, that's what they sound like when they're being interviewed. You know, I hear some of the interviews that they do on some of the talk shows, but you're right. I mean, I wish we were further up, and considering how bad the economy is, we should be, but maybe
yes,
we will be. Maybe we will be at the end. But I just, again, this inflation report, Bill, today, there's three things about it that are scary, very scary. Well, four things. The report, the number would have been higher if gasoline prices were not down. But the only reason the gas prices are down is because they're pumping out all this oil from the reserves. So,
yeah,
it's that's a dangerous move. So that's bad. But the three things that are really bad in this report are food prices. They're not coming down. Rent and utilities bill. There's a Bloomberg report indicating that one out of every six families cannot pay utilities. Think of the social impact of that, Bill.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm seeing more and more unrequested emails that I get of companies that are out very bluntly saying, we will arrange a financing plan with you. My car dealership, for example, just this morning I got a message from them. We will arrange financing for your repair. I've not seen much of that before. And I think that many companies now are easing up a lot of offers for free shipping, for this, for that. And one of the things that we have to look at in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, if there's a transportation strike, a great deal
yes.
of the online commerce is going to be affected, and that's going to affect a lot of retail stores. Some are already laying off staff. We see it. We see it here in New York. There will be more staff laid off. If you have a transportation strike there, it will have a devastating effect immediately on the hotel industry, on the tourist industry. I hope that they realize in the White House how serious this is.
Well, I hope they don't decide to do a let's celebrate Secretary of Transportation Day this
yes.
weekend, because, you know, that wouldn't be a good idea given the risk of a railroad strike. I don't remember a railroad strike. I mean, the last time that I ever read about one was Harry Truman. President Harry Truman had a railroad strike, and he federalized the railroads, if I recall, Bill.
Yes, and I don't recall what year that was, because there was a railroad strike, but there was also, during the Truman administration, a very big steel strike. But I'm not up on that. There was some legal question as to whether he had the right to do some of the things he did during mm-hmm. the steel strike. But a national strike of a major industry can have a devastating and long-lasting effect. I'm not so sure Americans were aware of that, because we haven't had one in so long.
Right. Well,
you
also,
remember,
I was going to say that I don't remember one. I don't remember one, and I stay on top of these things. I don't remember one recently in the last 20 or 25 years. I don't remember a railroad strike. And also, I don't think, you know, we see trains all the time around here, and I see them carrying stuff. So there must be a lot of goods transported by railroads. We don't think of it that way, but there must be. I read that it's like $2 billion of damage that it could do to the American economy. It probably wouldn't be a long strike, I don't think. But even a weekend, you know, people are already talking about, you know, going to the store and buying some extra toilet paper or whatever, just in case. Well, that's the kind of stuff that sets up shortages, creates shortages, Bill.
That's exactly right. And the question here that I have is that every time I go to the supermarket, I kind of look around and see what's going on in two areas. One, the shelves. Are they filled or are they partially empty? And second, the number of people in the store. I've been noticing recently a dramatic reduction in the number of people that I've usually seen in our particular supermarket. And I have to believe that it is people are buying less and making it last longer. And also, the shelves, you get kind of what's available to you. But you can see if you follow particular manufacturers, periodically there will be nothing there from that manufacturer because the stuff didn't come in. It just it was ordered, but it didn't arrive. But a transportation strike would be absolutely devastating right now. You know, you asked the question after the pandemic, which lasted, I mean, most of it is now over, although some is coming back, but which lasted really 2 years, and the economic damage done, the damage to children in schools, how much the country can take of constant bad news. Now, it is true, yes, we have gone through longer periods in the Depression, and, of course, the fighting of World War II took quite a bit of time. And we survived, and the country's morale survived, fortunately. But this is kind of different. This is a more modern era. People expect quicker results. They expect more of other people in the economy today. And you can get into a situation where the kind of blackouts they anticipate in California can start happening everywhere because of shortage of materials for the electric companies to run on.
No, it could be deadly. I mean deadly in the economic sense. It could be really very, very difficult. And, you know, one more economic story, Bill, that I saw this morning, and this is really sad, that they're now offering food stamps to U.S. soldiers and their families.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, I don't know if that's the first time that's ever happened. I don't read a story like this before. But the idea that your soldiers, people who are risking their lives for you, that I guess they don't have enough money to buy food. That's, I mean, it doesn't look good, Bill. At the very least, it doesn't look good. It's horrible.
No, and we are reading more and more about how unprepared some of our military units are. They seem to be doing more in the Pentagon about teaching woke politics than in anything else. I saw the story this morning that one of the major figures in diversity in the Pentagon has a history of writing anti-white tweets. I wonder how this evaded her security clearance people. I mean, did they not realize that you have to check social media? And the national morale of a democracy is very important. That was one of Reagan's great contributions, is that he restored the national morale of the country after the Carter administration and the Vietnam War and Watergate. Jimmy Carter was no great restorer of morale or of anything else that matter. He was really basically a national scold, telling us all it was our fault and, you know, you can't live as well as your parents lived and all that stuff. Kind of nonsense, and it was Reagan who came in and said it's morning in America, and it turned out to be
right. No, you're right. There's just a bad, there's just a very bad feeling in the country. That's all you can say. Just a bad feeling that you know, what's next kind of, you know, feeling when you just expect something bad to happen, but I just yes. absolutely incredible. Get that sense where, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was saying, I'm wondering what the death of the Queen, what the effect of it will be on the United States. If I were to ask this question in a vacuum, people would say, well, it should have no effect. It's the Queen of England. But isn't it interesting, the level of interest that exists here in Elizabeth, the television coverage, the extensive television coverage, which will continue through the beginning of next week, there really is kind of a sense, I think, that this was a stabilizing figure who represented real values. I mean, she can 70 years on the throne, and she conducted herself so well. And I think people are looking at it and saying, you know, things can be done well by government. Things can be political figures, if you want to consider the Queen a political figure, can act well over a long period of time. And maybe it's an inspiration. Maybe her life is an inspiration. On the other hand, people can say, my God, look where we are as a nation, the kind of government we have right now, the public morality. We are really in bad shape, and people can come out with that opinion as well.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people are reacting in a lot of ways. Some are calling for reparations, if you know.
Yes, it's not something.
Which is pretty ridiculous, I think. But how it struck me, Bill, is that the loss of the Queen, she is – people of that – I'm really beginning to miss people of that generation among us.
Oh, yes.
We didn't appreciate maybe we didn't appreciate how important that generation was. You know, we say we do, but it seems like with their passing, we begin to appreciate them more, whether it's our parents, whether it's our grandparents, but people of that generation were so important to us, and she is of that generation. I mean, this is a lady
yes.
who, yeah, she was the queen for 70 years, that's true, but she was driving a military car.
Yes.
Yes,
that's right.
In World War II, she didn't have to do that. I'm sure she could have gotten away with it.
Well,
I'm sure if she had said to her father, the king, you know, hey, you know, I don't really want to do this, Daddy. I want to do something else. I'm sure that could have been arranged.
Yes.
But yet there she was, driving an ambulance in her, you know, military uniform, telling everybody, you know, we're part of this too. That, and then the fact that she... The other thing that I liked about her, and that's why I say she reminds me of that generation so much, is that these are not people who are always talking about themselves. You know, these
right.
are people who basically just sat back and did their job. It reminds parents in that sense. You know, they just did their job. They weren't always talking about themselves. And that's what I'll miss. She was a real classy lady, Bill.
Yes.
I have nothing, yes. I have no feelings about the monarchy one way or the other, but I like this particular queen a lot, Bill.
Yeah. Oh well. Yes. Look, there's probably never going to be a monarchy like that. Certainly in longevity, and we don't know when the next female candidate comes up. I think the next in line after Charles is William.
Right.
And he's still a very young man. So we've
right.
seen the end of an era, and the to think that. That her first prime minister as queen was Winston Churchill. To some people,
mm-hmm.
Winston Churchill was the distant past. They,
mm-hmm.
they barely have heard of him. And it was Winston Churchill, and you're quite right, she did serve in World War II as a princess, many pictures. And she and her sister, Margaret Rose, made broadcasts to the British children, you know, saying good night and good luck. We remember that, or at least know about it. Absolutely unique. We will not. That phrase is a cliche. We will not see this again. But I'm afraid in this case it's probably true.
Well, if you look at King Charles III, his son William, and now they have a son, the young boy George. I mean, those are the next. I mean, that's the line right there. So
that's right.
If King Charles will, however long he goes. And then, like you say, you know, King William would be a fairly young man, maybe 50s. So, you know, and then the one after that, George, I mean, that means that probably for the next 50 years, that's the line. Those are the three people that we will call king, assuming, you know, there's no other, you know, no big scandal or whatever, or no big. But the question I have, Bill, before we move on to some other topics, the question I have is, how much is King Charles really going to like this job? Because I have a feeling that a lot of this woke stuff is going to go after him.
Oh, yes. You know, already. Yes.
Yeah, you're seeing all these calls for reparations. And I have a feeling that when he travels, he's going to be getting a lot of these calls. Queen Elizabeth did not get them. Maybe it's because she was an older woman. I don't know. But I just think that King Charles is going to be getting this crap a lot. And I'm not sure how much he's going to like the job after, you know, he got used to being a climate change expert. I'm not sure that's what he's going to be doing anymore, Bill.
No. Well, we will soon find out. The funeral of the Queen is on Monday. Then there will be he's already king. There'll be a coronation, and that will be, of course, a major event. And, you know, it's not gross to say that the coronation will be a major commercial event. It always is.
Right.
Much money will flow into England in terms of tourism. So we'll look at that. But I think you're right. They're going to try to make him a part of woke politics. I don't think he'll take the bait.
Well, I hope not. Make things a little bit more complicated. We're going to take a little break, Bill, and then we got a lot to get into after our break. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our good friend Bill Katz. During the break, Bill, my wife said that Lincoln enjoys hearing your voice. So they're listening to you, I guess. That's how she's keeping them down. She's keeping them calm. They're listening to you and me.
That's right. I'm sure they are.
A great influence on these kids. They're well behaved, you know, listening to a little iPhone, listening to you and I have a conversation. So I just wanted to make your day by giving you, letting you. Yeah, you have a couple of new fans, Bill.
Well, I'm glad. I will send them autographed pictures.
Yes, do that. Now you've got a couple of future subscribers to Urgent Agenda.
Yeah, well, then welcome. You know, isn't it amazing the world that they are coming into? When I was born, the most advanced device in a home was the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Well, and people did have, you know, washing machines and things, but the radio was the most advanced thing. Look what they have today. Access to the whole world, computer systems, color television sets that are so light that you can carry around a 32-inch set if you wish, the technology is so remarkable compared to what we had.
That's right. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, they don't even know what a radio is. They wouldn't know what to do with one. I mean, that generation, my sons don't even listen to the radio. I mean, it's not something that they enjoy doing. They rather listen to either satellite radio or podcast. You know, it's amazing. I don't know what's going to happen to the radio business in 10 or 15 years, because the people who listen to the radio are not the new ones. The new ones are not listening to the radio. It's an interesting, it's affecting the market, I would think. And we'll see what happens to future radio programming. Well, Bill, let me go to a couple of stories I want to get into today. The vice president on Meet the Press. But I want to talk a little bit about this story having to do with the University Brigham Young, I guess BYU, was playing Duke. And somebody on the Duke side of the I guess of the field said that there was a racial something derogatory that was said. And look, I've been to many school events, and they're playing competitive games. They can get nasty with each other, not necessarily in a racial way, but they can be nasty. They can say things to each other, and I've seen parents say some pretty nasty things.
Oh yes,
to the kids from the other side. So I'm not surprised that there's intensity at a game, but in this particular case, what surprises me is that CNN and some of the other usual suspects jumped on the story immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And you would think that after the incident with the fellow with the young man with the red hat, or Rittenhouse up in Wisconsin, or the young man in Chicago who was walking in the middle of the night or whatever.
Yes.
You would think after those bad experiences that there would be somebody at CNN who would say, okay, guys, before we go live on this, let's make sure it's true. Can you do that for me?
Well, I
don't do it. I don't get it.
It's interesting that CNN walked back the story, which is very rare for them. I think there are some new good executives at CNN that are going to try to impose some discipline. What is striking about this is that it happened at Duke University, which has a history of scandals of this kind. This is the University of the Duke lacrosse case, where an African-American woman who was performing at some fraternity party claimed that she had been raped. It became a great national scandal. The soccer team, was it the soccer team? Oh, no, the lacrosse team had a season suspended.
It was
the lacrosse
team, yeah.
The boys involved had to leave the campus, and it later turned out that the whole thing was basically a hoax, and that the young woman involved, rather than being an innocent victim, had a history that apparently nobody looked at too carefully, and is now in prison, I think, for murdering her boyfriend. You would think that after an event like that, they'd be more careful. But the statement that was made by Duke, the issue involved a Duke female basketball player, African-American, who herself had a history of very harsh racial statements. And after the game, or I think well after the game, she claimed that she had heard racial epithets directed at her. Duke immediately issued a statement of outrage supporting her. We will support our player. Brigham Young University expressed an apology. Other things happened. And then Brigham Young, when asked to do more, conducted an investigation to find out how anything like this could happen. They could not find any evidence that it ever did. They interviewed fans who were there that night. They did electronic a reprocessing of tapes of the game to hear things in the audience. Nothing came up. And in the end, they said, we're sorry, but this never happened. And Duke made the most foolish statement, saying that the character of our player is being questioned. We will always back her. As if lying, which is what is alleged here, is a minor thing. You know, so what if she did? You know, we must back our player. It ended up, I think, with some positive note, and that is that maybe now some journalists will be more careful.
Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. But if I was whoever the Duke or the BYU player who was accused of this, I would be getting myself a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I would be suing somebody because – you know, this stuff, I mean, you mentioned the four lacrosse players. They were completely innocent. But yet, if you go on the Internet and you don't know the story, you'll learn of what they're supposed to did, you know, what they were accused to do. Because once it goes into the Internet, it never comes out. It's always there.
That's
10 years.
You know, go ahead.
But 10 years from now, you know, somebody could, some student could be doing a project and read about this and say, gee, did you hear about this incident? And read all about it and not knowing that it was eventually not true. And so that's why I would sue I think that if once you start going after their pocketbooks, that's all of a sudden when they start getting careful. And CNN just lost a big case. Well, they settled out of court, but they paid a ton of money with that young man, I can't think of his name, with the red hat, who was accused of this or this or that. And you know, there's only so much money they can lose like that, Bill, before people begin to realize, you know, this kind of stupidity is costing us money. And
yes.
CNN is not exactly making a lot of money these days either, Bill.
No, you're absolutely right. And I just think that the press has got to calm down. There's the old cliche that the lie is halfway around the world before the truth catches up to it. And that is something we should live by. A journalist can wait to report the story, get it right, get the facts right, make sure it's balanced. And these things are particularly wrong when they're inflammatory. And this was one
yes.
of those inflammatory events. Many, many hoaxes have been perpetrated in the last few years on college campuses based on a charge of a group intimidation that I found. You know, I found a noose, I found I found a note, I found a broken window. And many of these cases have turned out not to be true. I hope the press will be more careful in the future, but I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, but you would think that that at both universities there would have been, you know, as my late father used to say, you count to 10 moment, where before you
That's
jump
exactly
to a conclusion,
right.
you count to 10. That there would have been somebody in both universities who would have said, okay, you're making this accusation. That's pretty strong stuff that you're making. Let's find out about it before we support anybody. You know, before we come out and express support for our player, let's make sure that this happened. You know, on both. And it seems to me that the administrations and universities now, they're always tempted to go woke on these things. And then, of course, they have to walk it back. And, you know, BYU or both Duke would be looking a lot better today if they had not gone woke and assumed that the racial, whatever it was that they said, was actually said. I mean, it would have been better if they had said, well, let's find out what happened,
yes.
and then we'll issue a statement. I mean, if they
yes.
had said, we're investigating it, okay, fine, they're investigating it. But my goodness, this idea that they always jump to the conclusion, and the conclusion is always that it's a woke conclusion, that's bad news for everybody, Bill. I mean, I hate to be, you know, whoever was alleged to have said this thing could have been hurt by another student. Apparently,
Absolutely.
It was one of the players. I mean, she
yes.
could have, it was a girls' game, so she could have been hurt by somebody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because of this.
Absolutely. There can be terrible repercussions from a rumor being started. And what is so striking in this case is the fact that when the investigation was finally conducted by Brigham Young, they also asked members of the Duke basketball team if they heard anything. And not one of them said that they did. Now, apparently the girl who made this charge has a history of some pretty inflammatory talk racially, and maybe the people were aware of that. But what you say is true. I mean, let us have a little restraint. You know, if something is caught on a microphone, that's one thing. Or if something emerges of on a tweet, that's something you can deal with immediately. But somebody making a charge, you better be careful and make sure the charge is true, as you pointed out. And that wasn't
yeah.
done here.
No, and nowadays, Bill, with so many iPhones on, you know, so many, you go to some of these sporting events and people, I mean, you're watching a baseball game on TV and you see people on their iPhones. And you're asking yourself, what are they doing on their iPhones? I guess they're talking to people or whatever they're doing. So if in fact there had been a derogatory statement, it's very likely that it would have been recorded or heard by somebody because there's phones on at these events. I mean, it's
yes.
crazy. I mean, you like I said, you're watching a baseball game and it's half of the crowd is on their phone during the game.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the people have recording machines with them. They have camcorders, which record, of course, sound. Somebody would have known something. It's obvious that the charge is false. I don't know, and there will be no punishment to the girl who made the charge. That you can be sure of.
Right. No, you're right about that. But I wonder if this may have been. I think you hinted about this in your story and your post. Maybe this is the last straw for CNN because the new management is pretty much fed up. with the network.
So. Yes.
And they're looking for excuses to get rid of people. They got rid, of course, of the fellow who had that Sunday show. And then they got rid of another fellow, John Harwood, I think was his name.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, if you're the management at CNN, the new management, and you're looking at their ratings, and the ratings are getting worse every week, and then you see something like this, you might be tempted to say, you know, it's time, let's pull the plug. We've been talking about it. Let's pull the plug and just change everything, and let's go back to doing boring news like they used to do. I say boring. They were not boring, but I mean, they're not partisan. I mean, you know, there was a fellow, Bernard Shaw, who passed away here a few days ago.
Yes. Yes.
I remember when he was the face of CNN. He was a very serious guy, Bill.
Yes, he was. But CNN, who was this fellow? Jeff Zucker, who took over the network. It must have been now about 10 years. He ruined it. He was basically an entertainment executive, and he became famous at NBC for building the career of, was it Katie Couric? I don't recall whose career he built, or one of the others, maybe. And he then got in charge of the NBC schedule, and I think it went right down the drain, and he took his failing mentality to CNN. And he realized that the greatest asset a news organization can have is its credibility, its reputation. He wouldn't have done the foolish things he did, but he didn't realize it, and it became almost an entertainment network.
Well, it did, and sometimes I wonder, Bill, they invested so much in Trump. They invested so much in their dislike of Trump that you wonder if they thought he was going to be reelected.
Oh, I think they prayed. Yes, they probably prayed that it would be, and they're probably still praying it. But
right.
but you're seeing the changes being made at CNN, as you said, people are being let go. I think this is only the beginning, and I think you're also right that the current owners of CNN are more serious, and they understand that it must be returned to its status as a news organization, not just an editorial page. Let's see how successful they are. I hope they're completely successful.
Well, I do too. I do too, because I think we need some serious news, and they just killed the network. But if you're the new manager and the ratings are as bad as they are, you know, you're not exactly in the mood to keep what you currently have. I mean, you're going to be looking for a way of getting rid of what you have. There's another story, Bill, that I want to bring up, and that is what Vice President Harris went on Meet the Press. And I'm not sure who was worse, the vice president or Chuck Todd, because it just seems to me that it was such a stupid interview. He lets her get away with everything, Bill. There's no challenge of anything she said. I understand they want to be respectful, but man, I was amazed at how bad Chuck looked in that interview, Bill.
Oh, well, look, this is what we're currently getting. I mean, I remember Meet the Press. In fact, I have some discs of Meet the Press that were made in the early 1960s that somebody sent me. Meet the Press was a very serious program. The host was a man named Lawrence Spivak. He was involved with the show with a woman named Martha Roundtree. Lawrence Spivak was the host, and he had a panel of serious journalists, and the discs I have, one of them was an interview of John F. Kennedy on Meet the Press when he was a candidate for the presidency. And the whole thing was so serious. These were serious times, serious journalists. Journalists asked questions of substance. And today it's all lightweight, very lightweight.
Yes. Well, the topic, of course, the clip. Well, there are several clips that are causing controversy or reaction. One was about the border, when he asked if the border was secure, and she came up, she said, yes, it is secure. And he kind of said, well, 2 million people are coming in. How can it be secure? But I think he should have been more aggressive with her.
Yes.
And by aggressive, I don't mean disrespectful. I'm not saying you scream at her, but she should have been challenged. And then when she said that, you know, the Supreme Court is taking away a constitutional right, well, that right there was an opening to Challenger. Roe v. Wade was never a constitutional right. You can support abortion. Roe v. Wade was not a constitutional right. It was an opinion.
Yes.
And it was never codified by anybody. But it just seems that she was allowed to say these things, Bill, and was not challenged. And that's the part that bothers me. I mean, what was wrong with Chuck Todd? I mean, I've seen him better. I'll say that much, Bill.
Yes. Well, the correspondents today do not have the weight that they used to have. I mean, I remember the days when once a year CBS would bring home its foreign correspondents, and on a Sunday afternoon for several hours, they would report on what they had seen in the previous year. Often the host of the program was Edward R. Murrow. The people on the program were often people he hired for CBS. It is true that they were all white men, that I have to say, and the criticism is correct that it should have been some diversity, but they were very serious journalists with gray hair, and they had what many journalists today don't have. They had experience. Experience is still, it's the old cliche that we learned as children, that experience is the best teacher. It is especially true in journalism. To have experience actually seeing these events, covering them over a period of years, getting used to the figures involved, we don't have that today. There's a very, very lightweight atmosphere in news reporting. I think that it might change in the future or go back, but it will take major change. Now, if CNN can install major change and become serious again, that's a plus. I want to see it happen. I don't want to see them be bad. I want to see them be good. If MSNBC could straighten itself and not be the laughingstock that it is, I'd like to see that. Ironically, I think that the network that has probably produced the best news product is probably Fox News. I know many people mm-hmm. will disagree because it is a conservative network, but on their news programs, they're pretty straightforward. They really are, and they have some very good people.
They do. And I have a feeling that if Vice President Harris had gone on that Fox Sunday morning show, they now have a new host for that show, Shannon Bream. I think she would have asked much better questions.
Yes.
She would have challenged her and would have done it in a very respectful way. But I was so disappointed with Chuck Todd because the questions were so – I don't know how else to say it. They were just absolutely silly, the questions. I mean, he didn't seem to want to challenge her. And maybe that was the condition of the interview. I don't know. Maybe they say, look, we're only going to talk about this, like this, like this, like this. And maybe that was the condition of the interview. But if that was Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, it would have been a much tougher interview, Bill.
Oh, you know, I've said many times that when you look at Barack Obama, who has never been asked a serious question, really.
No.
I mean, they handled him with kid gloves. Okay, they wanted to give the first black president a break. I have no problem with that because there are racists out there who tried to bring him down. But it was carried on much too long. If we look at Obama today, no former president has monetized the American presidency the way he has. Three mansions. If this were a Republican retired president, he would be confronted. He would be asked, aren't you embarrassed by this? The story would go on and on and on, but not with Obama. The press is slanted, and it is often amateurish. And unless it gets rid of these characteristics, which have been noted by the public and public opinion polls, some of the news organizations today might simply go out of business.
Well, the ratings would tell you that because some of them are having some real difficulty with ratings. Even MSNBC has lost a lot of its ratings. Well, Bill, we're going to close today with a negative story. I just saw that the stock market was down 4%, at least the Dow Jones, and all the others were over 4%. So here we have on the day that the White House is celebrating the Inflation Reduction Act and the rebirth, the renaissance of the American economy.
Yes.
We have very bad inflation numbers and we have very bad stock market. I don't know. Maybe they need to change the person who arranges these events, Bill.
Well, whoever it is, look, the White House is remarkably tone deaf. We've had tone deaf people in the White House before, but not to this extent. And as far as Kamala Harris is concerned, she is Biden's insurance policy. Nobody's going to want to pressure Biden out of office if she's there. Can you imagine her as president of the United States at a White House news conference, not being able to complete a single sentence? And if you say anything, of course you're a bigot. So maybe some good will come out of it. I don't know.
Well, I think the only good that may have come out of all of this, Bill, is that maybe people will realize that identity politics is not a good way to put together a cabinet.
It's a terrible way. It's the worst possible way.
Maybe we can go back to a time where experts were in the cabinet for a change.
Oh, yes, and not only that, but we can go back to a time when the president was seen as a serious figure. I mean, a national administration meant something. This is just a hobbled together mess with a lot of people running around who don't know what they're talking about. And I think that in perhaps saner times or more serious times, the administration would be shown the door rather quickly.
Right. The media would have certainly been more demanding.
Yes.
Of change. That's another problem. Well, Bill, as always, thank you so much for your time. And thank you for letting me do it a day later, because we had a funeral and some friends yesterday. But we'll get together again next week, same time channel. And we'll do our week in review and enjoy it as much as we do.
Well, it is enjoyable. Looking forward to it. Remember, we're in the middle of a very severe election campaign, and it's going to get hotter by the day.
Well, I think Lincoln and Noah want you to say goodbye to them. So why don't you,
Lincoln,
since they're listening, they're in the other room listening to you, Bill.
Right, Lincoln, Noah, I can't wait to meet you in person.
All right, okay, maybe that'll happen soon, I hope.
Thank you so
much, Bill. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you, Sylvia.
Thank you so much. Our good friend, Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you later.